reading in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, to put on a new man, which after God has created righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying and speak of a man cruel with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, that not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, and he have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but which that which is good in the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you seal unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. 23 through 32, if correct, read out of the full chapter of the book of Ephesians. I will pray. Dear God, tonight, we lay bare our lives and ask you to search our hearts if there's any wicked ways in us. Forgive us and cleanse us like the said vessels for use tonight. We pray thy blessings upon everybody in this church tonight. Pray, God, that you'll take thy servant, loose his tongue, illuminate his mind, give us holy unction. Yeah. Help us, our Father, to go from here conscious that God said something to us. Yeah. Our Father, we pray tonight that you'll revive those of us that are saved and save the lost. God, we pray tonight convictions shall settle for this community.
Yeah.
Cause men and women to stagger into the altars and cry for the mercy of God. We pray, my Father, tonight that you will form us, if it were, back him over this place and remove every demonic, satanic force. Leave nothing but God in here. We'll praise your name when it's over. For Jesus' sake, we ask you. Amen.
Amen.
I want to think with you tonight on the five wounds of the Holy Spirit. Five ways that we can wound the Holy Spirit. Now, we think of Christ, we think of him, we think of the pierced hand, and the pierced feet, and the pierced side. He said, they shall look upon me whom they pierced. When we think of him being pierced in the feet, in the hands, and in the side, it does not cover all the wounded places on him by any means. Because his brow had been punctured with a crown of thorns. His face was torn where the hair appeared out by the roots. His back was beaten into shreds of flesh with a lash. And his head was bruised where they smote him. Matter of fact, there wasn't much of any place on his body that was not bruised and wounded and hurt. But when we think of him, we think of those five things outstanding. Pierced side, pierced feet, pierced hands. I'm saying the same thing about the Holy Spirit tonight. He has been wounded in a lot more ways than five ways, which I'm speaking about tonight, so I want that understood in the beginning, that he is, if you please, wounded more ways than I'll speak about tonight. Because these five are just five that I'm going to bring up to you. The first thing I want us to realize in order to understand the message is that we must recognize one thing. You're saved by the Holy Spirit. If you're saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit lives in you. In the 16th verse of the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Then in the 6th chapter, the 19th verse, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, up until the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon people. Like, for example, he came upon Jesus when he was baptized in the form of a dove. Visible form. We go back and find out through the Old Testament that when men needed the power of the Holy Spirit of God, he came upon them and empowered them, and then he went back. And until the time that Jesus left them, the Holy Spirit came and came upon the priests and the prophets and others to empower them to perform that which was necessary for the advancement of God's cause, God's kingdom. But after Jesus went back, he sent the Holy Spirit here to abide with us. And as a result, the only place you find the New Testament teaching that the Holy Spirit is today is in human bodies. Our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He dwells in us. He lives in us. He abides in us. You can't take the Bible and show where he's out in space, where he's somewhere else. He's in us. And when you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves in, and you're indwelled with the Spirit of God. And then, my friends, you are subject to the things that the Spirit of God can do for you. It's just like, for example, there's somewhere in this building, there's a big switch box. And it can, there's enough power coming in this building to run big motors on your air conditioning units or on your heating units. And there's enough power coming in this building to turn on and burn a lot of lights. Now, you might not turn on but a 10-watt light, and that's all the power that comes out of that switch box just came up. Yet there's enough coming to it to run everything in this building.
Right. Amen.
And as a result, it depends on what you turn on.
Right.
As to how much is in here. Now, if you're not on a 10-watt light, that's all he's going to burn in.
Amen.
If you're not on a quarter-horse motor, that's all he's going to run in. Or you can be a one-horse motor, you can be a 1,000-watt light.
Amen.
And so as a result, the power is in there, is what I'm saying. It's like the high power current's coming to the switch box, and the switch determines how much current is burned. And whatever amount of current we want burned, we turn on the switch. So the Spirit of God lives in us, and however much we need to run our business for God, then he'll let us have it. He's in there. Now, he's not somewhere else. I'm going to get that over to you in the very beginning. He's not somewhere else. If the Spirit of God's anywhere today in the life of the New Testament, you have to confess that his dwelling place is in human bodies.
Amen.
And he tells us plainly that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And so as a result, we must recognize that. I'm conscious of way back on that. When I first got saved, I was very wicked, came from a life of infidelity and terrible wickedness. And I've read stories of different men like Moody and others, where it said it's yet unknown what one man fully surrendered to God could do. And I was fool enough to want to be that one man. That is my ambition. And so I went to the woods and I prayed, I fasted, I walked the woods, I read the book, I prayed, I waited before God until I stayed there. I got so weak I couldn't go. And nothing happened. And I got rather disturbed and got out on my face before God. And God let me see where the trouble was. He said, son, can you eat enough dinner the rest to take care of you the rest of your life? I said, no. Said, you have to go eat every day, don't you? I said, yeah. Said, my business is a daily thing. I need you, whatever you need, I'll be there to supply it when you need it. And then I remembered when the children of Israel got greedy and tried to get enough for the second day, meal you didn't write it on. The man came down every day.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, it's a daily affair.
Amen.
And today, Ronnie might need 1,000 rock light to shine on the glory, for the glory of God, or shine against the devil. He might need a one horse motor, so to speak, and tomorrow he might not need over a quarter horse or a 10 watt. But whatever he needs, it's in.
Yeah.
It reached for his impact. And my friends, the Spirit of God's living in me, and any amount of it I need is in there. All I've got to do is to throw the switches at me.
Amen.
The courage's there. The power is there. You need to go around looking for him. If you're saved by the grace of God, he lives right in him.
Amen.
And if you need his power, you need not go around looking to come out in the sky from some cyclonic spirit. What you need to realize is that he's right in here. All you reach for is that. There's enough in there to do anything you need to do. He said, I'll not allow any man to be tempted above what he's able to stand. And well, in every temptation, I'll make a way of escape. Paul was praying that God would take the thorn out of his flesh. He said, my grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
You got enough in you to handle any thorn that you got.
Yeah.
So the thing I want us to realize tonight, we have within us enough of the power of God to handle anything about us. And he dwells within us. And because of that, my friends, we need to face some things tonight, realizing that my body is the house where the Holy Spirit lives. Now, if you can show me the Bible where it is anywhere else other than human bodies today, I wish you'd show it. I need to be enlightened. Now, he dwells within us. He lives within us. And what Jesus said, when Jesus, just before he went away, he said, come and drink of me, and out of these shall flow rivers of living water. And the next verse he said, he was referring to the Holy Ghost who was not yet given. Now, if he ain't in us, how's he going to flow out?
Right.
See? And that's the thing I want us to realize, that the Spirit of God is dwelling in us. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, God could have lived him somewhere else, but God chose to place him in our bodies and let our bodies be the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore, my friends, we should not be afraid. And that's the thing I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to let you see where he is positioning you, and so on, in order that you might understand what we're fixing to say. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit is a wound to him. It hurts the Holy Spirit to be grieved. But isn't grief a pain to you? Doesn't grief wound you? Alright. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And my friends, we should recognize the Holy Spirit and treat him decent. Because it was he that led us to meet Jesus. Jesus said, no man comes to me except the Father drawing. And the drawing is to the Holy Spirit of God. And we stuck to recognize then, if that's the case then, if he's the one that led us to Jesus, and he is, then my friend, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Not only did he lead you to Christ, to accept Christ, and to be born into the kingdom of God, and to be born into the Spirit, he brought the spiritual birth into you. Jesus said you must be born of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So as a result, the Holy Spirit was the one that's responsible for you being saved. He convicted you of sin, and of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. He brought you to Christ, and Christ saved you, and then just as he saved you, the Holy Spirit sealed you.
Amen.
How long? Until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Which is simply saying, he seals you to be delivered in the day of redemption.
Amen.
Now your mothers and wives put vegetables in plenty of can, and leave it up. unto the believers, and it said, on the shepherd that stays out of the Indians. You say, I'll sometime it's for. If it's sparked, it wasn't sealed.
Amen.
That was his teeth. It wasn't sparked.
Amen.
So as a result,
amen,
he sealed us on to the day of redemption.
Amen.
That means once the Holy Spirit seals you, you're sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
My friends, unto that day, which is simply meaning one thing, and that is, I wrote your pastor a letter about this meeting. I sealed it up for a 13-cent stamp on it, first class, dropped it, had my secretary put it in the mail, post office. Three people had it after got it back before it got on the mail truck. They went to Memphis to the distribution center of our section, and several people handled it there, pushing it from one counter to another, taking it, finally wound up in the mail for this part of North Carolina. But before it got to Ronnie Simpson, at least 20 people handled it. Men, women, young and old, good and bad. Nice and ugly. But all they could do is pass it on. It's addressed to Ronnie Simpson, Monroe, North Carolina. No, it was first class. Uncle Sam said, keep your hands out of it and leave it alone. It's got to go to him.
Yeah.
And finally, the rural carrier brought it and put it in his box. Nobody could tamper with it without violating the law. But when he got it, he could break the seal to get his mail out, because it's his mail.
Yeah.
Now what happened? When God, Jesus, saves your soul, the Holy Ghost seals it up unto the day of redemption, right from that God the Father, the Holy City, the New Jerusalem. And no matter how many devils have you between here and until that day,
yes,
the Holy Spirit delivers you to God the Father, and you God's male, and he'll open up.
Amen.
You're God's young, and he'll receive you.
Glory.
And he'll turn you loose where you won't never spoil when the chief you've got an unspoiling grace.
Amen.
So as a result, it don't make any difference what folks say or what they say, that's still so.
Amen.
See you along to the day of redemption. And that means you're delivered special by the Holy Spirit of God. That means ownership, God's property. That means the devil's word, no matter about the devil can handle it. It's going to be delivered first class to God Almighty into the city where they're being spoiled.
Amen.
Amen. Now, my friend, he's your comforter. He's the one Jesus left to comfort us. He's the one that Jesus left us to teach us and to guide us. So we should not grieve him. That's what Paul is saying here in the Ephesians letter. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And this is the way, my friends, that we grieve him. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit or hold the Holy Spirit? Anything contrary to the will of God is a grief to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because it's his business to lead us in the right direction with God. And when we rebel on the will of God in our lives, we agree with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When we refuse to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and we say, and we know what God's will is, but we rebel against it and resist it, it's a wound to the Holy Spirit. It hurts him because he can't get us to do what we're supposed to do for God.
Amen.
Now, I don't have to go out here and get drunk and commit adultery and murder somebody and tell a lie or steal something to grieve the Holy Spirit. I can just be rebellious and stubborn and refuse to do what the Holy Spirit asked me to do for God and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And misgrieve the Holy Spirit of God. And a lot of folks say because they don't cuss, don't drink, don't go naked, and don't lie, don't steal, that they're not doing anything wrong. Well, if you're refusing to do what the Spirit of God is trying to lead you to do and get you to do, I want you to know one thing tonight. You're grieving the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Not only that, but not only by refusing to do what the will of God is, but he is grieved when we go places he don't want to go.
Amen.
Amen. If somebody tied you up and carried you somewhere you didn't want to go, wouldn't that hurt your feelings? You know? Just fastened you up and you couldn't help yourself and carried you to some place and be embarrassing you and you wouldn't want to be caught at, wouldn't that grieve you? Wouldn't that hurt you? That when you carry the Holy Ghost to God some places he don't want to go, then that embarrasses him and grieves him. He don't want to go to one of these beer joints. He doesn't want to go to one of these liquor lounges. He doesn't want to go to some house of prostitution. He doesn't want to go to a dance hall. He doesn't want to go to these dirty theaters. He don't want to go to these pornography counters. He don't want to go to the pool hall. He don't want to go to the dancing places. And when you go, it hurts his feelings. You say, oh no, preacher, I don't care. What are you going to do with him?
Amen.
Take it out and say, you stay there when I get
there. Amen. Amen.
You can't do that.
Amen.
It won't work. Because, my friends, he's abiding with you. He's dwelling in you. You're his temple.
Amen.
And you can't take him out and stay on the side of the road bleeding until you get back.
Right.
Where you go, he has to go.
Amen.
And you ought to consider him when you go in places and decide whether he'd like to go along or not.
Amen.
And if you don't, you're going to hurt his feelings. You're going to insult him. You're going to grieve him. To carry him places he don't want to go. He doesn't want to go out there to the modern dances and be hugged up and lusted at.
Right.
Like they do. You show up when you try to go to the dance and not lust, you're a liar.
Right.
If you go out there and dance the modern dance and not lust, you better go see a doctor about your abnormality. You My friends, the word of God is against liquor and eating alcoholic form and eating disorder. He said, don't look at it, don't touch it, and don't give it to your neighbor.
Yeah.
And my friend, it's a grief to the Holy Spirit of God when you mess with those things.
Right.
When you go to those joints and hang out in there, you've instructed the Holy Spirit of God, you've hurt the Holy Spirit of God. And when you, my friend, go off down on the beaches on Sunday, the mountains on Sunday, and when you go off to picnic dinners and family reunions, it hurts his feelings. Because he said, forsake not the sinning of your sins together, but rather meet together. And he said, upon the first day of every week, lay by in store according as God has prospered you that week. He means for you to build the house of the Lord the first day of every week and bring that which belongs to him. And my friends, at the same time, he wants to go to church. He said, forsake not the sinning of yourselves together, but rather meet together. At the same time, he said, gather the people.
Amen.
The men, the women, the children. We didn't come preaching, but the children came in.
Yeah. Amen.
God knew you were going to hold that, so he shut your gate.
Amen.
Gather the men, the women,
Amen.
The children. Well, preachers like this, the children came over on Sunday and they brought some of the friends we've never seen. He knew he was going to say that too. So he shuts the gate still tighter. That's Deuteronomy 31:12. Gather the men, the women, and the children, and the strangers within thy house, that they can hear the word of God, and learn them the things of God.
Amen.
Amen. So I want you to see tonight, my friend, when you hold out on him and won't go to the meeting house of God, where you take your church vows, and where you promise to honor God and separate yourself from the world, count God's fist. You don't go, and you hang out those places away from that. It insults the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
It's a grief to him. He had his way wherever he had it, in the worship service in your church.
Yeah.
He had you and your family, and the strangers that go through with your house.
Yeah.
He had the whole crowd, and you got sense enough to know of telling the truth.
Yeah.
If the Holy Spirit had his way, he put every one of you in the church. Where you go to church and walk there, he had you in there.
Yeah.
Now then, if you're fighting him and you're battling against him, you're pleading him.
Yeah.
face it tonight. And we start to recognize also, my friends, doing things that he don't want to do. Some things he don't want to do. He don't want to go to these fool halls and play with the devil's crowd.
That's right. Amen.
He don't want to go to these golf courses on Sunday and play with the pastor instead of coming to the church.
Amen.
My friends, he don't want to do dancing. He don't want to do getting. He don't want to do a lot of things if you embarrass him by going ahead and doing it and losing respect for the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
What are you doing that hurts the Holy Spirit? What are you doing that grieves the Holy Spirit? What you do, remember, he lives in there. He's a part of you.
Amen.
And it forced him to do things he don't want to do. And at the same time, my friends, a lot of other folks is forcing the Holy Spirit of God to see things he don't want to see.
Amen. Go ahead.
Looking at things he don't want to look at. Seeing things he don't want to see.
Amen.
He don't want to see a lot of this dirty stuff that comes over your televisions. It's brainwashing America.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, recently had a moral collapse. Americans literally being brainwashed by the television media.
Right.
Amen.
And nothing's wrong anymore. Folks have thrown away their convictions. And the televisions have taken the place of family altars and reading the Bible.
Right.
You know, everybody's got their little program, gun smoke, or wild bill went over the hill, or who's available somewhere. And everybody's got to have no time to pray, don't have any time to talk about God, don't have no time to have an altar of worship or anything else. And the Holy Spirit of God's been driven back in there and closed off, and you won't let him. Hey, if you have a family altar, pray and read God's word or worship anything else. He likes family altars.
Yeah.
He likes worship.
Yeah.
He likes the reading of God's word so he can teach it to you. And yet, my friends, you let these things come in and close out your fellowship with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You won't fellowship with him. You're afraid you'll miss some on television.
Amen.
And as a result, you're going out instead of studying the word of God. My friends, you're reading a bunch of old pornography, sex magazines, and a bunch of literature and filth and trash and sentimental slush.
Yeah. Right.
Now, do you think I'm wrong? I'll prove it to you.
Right.
How many of you sitting here believe everything you see on television to be true? Everything you see it. You believe it's all true? Everything you see on television is true. Everybody believes everything you see on television is true. Hold up your hand. Okay. Everybody believes everything you read in these magazines and newspapers coming to your house is true. All these magazines and books and newspapers come to your house. If you believe the truth that you're reading, you hold up your hand. How many of you believe the word of God, the Bible, is the truth from cover to cover? Let's see your name.
Amen.
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 Okay? I don't want to do it. Because you're spending your time looking at a thing you know part of it's a lie.
Amen.
You're spending your time reading a bunch of junk you know part of it's a lie and letting the dust and spider webs accumulate on the word of God.
Amen.
If that's not moving the Holy Spirit of God, what can?
Amen. Right.
Amen.
So I'm telling you, we're wounded about what we're looking at, what we're reading, and what we're listening to, instead of listening to him and let him inspire us through the message of God.
Yeah.
You see, that's what I'm talking about. Beloved, they, those medias of the news world, have taken the Bible out and fanned altars out and hard side pamphlet.
Yeah.
As a result, we've got a lot of wild livers in this nation of
ours. Yeah.
And as we face it tonight, the homes are crumbling. According to the U.S. News report last month, one out of every two homes will be a divorce this year. Half of the marriages this year will be divorces before the year is gone. When you're stuck to realize that, my friends, you see what the Spirit of God is being pushed into. And so I'm saying to you, my friends, God help us to realize that the Holy Spirit is being mistreated and wounded, and we ought to respect him more than that.
Yes,
if your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, then you ought to respect him. How would you like to live in a house with the weatherboard tore off of the brick veneering and the ceiling tore off up 4 foot all the way down? Just the framework standing there.
If I drive down the road, sees whether you eat or sleeping or what you've done in your house. How would you like living in a house like that? All over the world, all seen long, nothing except the framework, the 4 foot from the floor. Nobody come along, peeping in. You say, well, preacher, I would want to live in a house like that. I'd be embarrassed to. Well, quit asking the Holy Spirit to live in a house like that with all the weather going off up to here.
Amen.
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 It's embarrassing to him. You better run around these men in skirts and shorts and halters.
Amen.
Going down the street, I saw an old fat woman the other day in a pair of tight shorts that looked like a sack with doorknobs in it.
Yes,
they were.
You
say, Mr. Ray, we wear it because it's cool, you're a liar. You wear it because you want to get out for men and feel their tickling eyes of lust tickle your
conscience.
I prove it. You get out on the parking lot in town and out on the lawn like that, but when you get in the house at night with your husband, you put on a house coat, hitch at your ankles, tie a rope around it, and pull the shades down.
Amen.
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 Who do you think you're who?
That's right.
Right.
Go ahead.
It insults and rules the Holy Spirit to have to live in such a carcass as that.
Right.
You say, well, Mr. Ray, what about the men? Ain't no man. There's a few feminine sissy panty boys going down the street wearing the booty shorts look like a pair of four-fold niggas turned on the side.
Right.
Praise it, brother. Praise
it. It's an insult to the spirit of the living God to have to live in houses like that.
Yeah.
It won't. It'd be embarrassing, hurt you if they tear all your weather board off and tear all your covering off. It hurts the Holy Spirit of God when you start taking uncovering yourself. Right. God said, I shall not uncover thy nakedness to each other.
Amen.
So, my friends, are you willing to the Holy Spirit of God? I think you live in a house like that. Then you must face the fact that you're mistreating the Spirit of God. Then keeping things in your heart that He don't want living there with. Hurt feelings. Unforgiveness. Lust. Pride. Jealousy. Hate. Unforgiveness. Down in your heart, and the Holy Spirit has to live in there, that mess. How would you like to live in a room locked up with a skunk, a polecat? Meantime, he takes those teeth you need. You say, oh, preacher, I couldn't stand those men in a room locked up with a polecat in the gym. That smile at me, that choked me. Well, have you ever realized that the Holy Spirit's living in your heart, and when you get the wrong stuff in that stinks to him worse than pole cats?
Amen.
Hey, my son.
Smothers him. Hurts him. Wounds him. Would it keep that junk out? House of the Holy Spirit of God. He loves you enough to enter in and live in there. You ought to respect him enough to keep all those old hurt feelings and unforgiving spirits and hate and jealous and envy and all that mess and lust and pride out of there.
Amen.
And give him free room and free room and place in your heart and life.
Amen.
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 Let's face it tonight, my brother, sister. How are you treating the Holy Ghost of God? What are you making live in there with? All right, if somebody made you stay in the room with a skunk, it hurt you. And when you make him stay in that heart, filled with that kind of stuff, it's hurting him. Not only that, my friends, how would you like to live in a garbage can and all the people in the community throwing garbage in on you? You say, oh, preacher, okay, he lives in you. And all the old gossipers and tattlers and murmurs and belly achers come to your house and dump it in your pen.
Amen.
Right in on him. it off in your can and let the garbage of the community, the gossip and the backbiting, tattling, murmuring critics come to your house and you dump it in there, you dump it in on the Holy Spirit of God.
That's right, God. Amen.
You say, well, Mr. Ray, I don't want all the community gossip, but they just run to me with it. You know why? They found out you're a can station out there to catch it.
Amen. Right.
You don't want the gossip of the community, put the lid on your can.
Amen.
And they won't haul it no further.
Amen.
That's right.
That's
right.
The reason they dump it in is because you got your lid on.
Amen.
But I want you to know it's an insult of the Holy Spirit of God. When you let folks call God gossiping and tattling and backbiting and murmuring and criticism, all of that to you, and you let them dump it in and you let it affect you, it's affected the Holy Spirit in
you. Amen.
My friends, I want you to know tonight it's room to the Holy Spirit. Yet He's the one that led you to Christ. He's the one that saved you to the day of redemption. He's the one that comforts you. He's the one that does so many things for you. And yet you're treating him like he wouldn't even exist in you. I want us to realize tonight, my friends, you're going to be responsible to God for the way you've grieved the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And mistreated the Holy Spirit of God. And then, my friends, not only that, how would you like to live and have to stay around an old gossiping tongue? He said in the book, if there's any among you that seems to be religious,
right,
if pride is not his tongue, this man's religion is vain.
Amen.
I want you to know this, folks run around and gossip about everything and backbite and tattling and gossiping.
Yeah.
You know what's the matter with them? Same thing is wrong with an empty wagon bed with loose plank in it. When you are a loose truck bed with loose plank in it, and you go down the road, narrow old plank in, flip, flip, flap, flap, rattle, rattle, rattle. You put a roll of rock or dirt in there, it'll stop those planks from rattling.
Amen.
And when you hear somebody in the community with their tongue tied and mental clear, the spit on both ends flat about four times, four out of flat one, you hear about the preacher, you hear about what the preacher did, you hear about how did what I did, you hear about what the
preacher
did, you hear about what so so flop, 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 flop. Just know they hadn't got anything in their way.
Amen.
They got a bunch of loose planks.
Amen. Amen.
That's what your matter was.
Yes.
Anytime you hear that going on, just holler into it.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Because that's all it is. I tell you, that God don't want no such stuff that going on in us. And I want you to realize that, my friends, we start to realize that we must face reality. He wants our light to shine. He wants us to be the salt of the earth. He wants us to bear testimony. So, my friends, let's quit grieving the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Are you grieving him by these things that I've mentioned? Remember I said again, you can't take him out and sit there and say, wait till I get back. No, sir, you can't do it. He lives in here.
Right.
And you've got to wake up the fact that I am the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And if he's going to take this as his dwelling place and live in me, and I say again, you can't take him out and prove to me he's anywhere except in us now.
Amen.
From my friends, I want you will be as long as you live or until Jesus comes. The human body is going to be the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And we've got to give him some respect. We've got the Holy Spirit of God. Don't lose the Holy Spirit of God by making it live in an unfit temple.
Amen.
Not a temple. God help us to see, my friends, what we're doing to him. Then another way we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, he said, quench not the Holy Spirit of God. In the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:9, he said, 5:19, it said, quench not the Holy Spirit of God. How do you quench the Holy Spirit of God? Does it hurt you to be choked? Am I right and choke you? Does it hurt? Yes, it does. But when you start choking the Holy Spirit of God, it hurts him.
What?
How do we choke the Holy Spirit of God? How do we quench him? Number one, we quench him by refusing to pray when he tries to get us to pray.
Amen.
There's been a time in your life when the Spirit of God come on you and say, pray, pray. Just fudge and say, pray, pray. And you ladies are washing dishes and you just got one more plate. You say, let me get it washed right quick and then I'll go pray. You run over and pray, it seems like God's a thousand miles away. We men run a lawnmower. We just like a round and a half and through.
When the Spirit of God tells us to pray, pray, we look, that's what everyone had around that. Was that woman hurt? Take her around, push into the lodge, and run to pray. And the skies turned to brass. Yeah. We think, well, maybe that wasn't the Lord. Yes, it was, but he's got so many calls he can't hold long distance. While you was facing that other little job, he took on somebody else that needed to talk to him and left you, and he ain't got time for you now. You know what I'm talking about? You've been times when you just went along the way. Pray, God did great things for you. Amen. But if you put it off a little bit, you trying to pray in the sky, trying to crash, you didn't get nowhere. Amen. And you thought, well, that was a mistake. No, it wasn't you the one that was the mistake.
Amen.
You didn't realize God Almighty, when he sent the Holy Spirit and rings your number and said, God's on the line, talk to him. He makes intercession for us. I mean, he intercedes for us. He takes out groans we can't even utter and makes them known unto the Father. And I want to tell you, my friends, when the Holy Spirit gets God on the line for Ronnie Simpson, he better put everything in call.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit gets you on the line with God, you better take off everything else and make it more important than anything else and do some talking. I want you to realize a lot of us have quenched the Holy Spirit of God by waiting until another time to pray. Then when you pray, it's some more than spitting in water. Why? You choked off the Holy Spirit. And many of us have choked the Holy Spirit about praying until he don't care about coming back and feeling of us no more.
Yeah. Amen.
Every time God's moved on you to pray, you was always too busy. Had some prayers you want to do. And when it gets convenient, I'll pray. And he's got tired of that. And he's just leaving you without any prayer power at all.
Amen.
That's it.
He just don't ring your number no more because you always busy with pleasure or business or with laziness or something else.
Amen.
It's terrible to wound the Holy Spirit, insult him, when he said, look, I got God Almighty on the phone. On the phone.
Talk to him.
Come on, stop! I got some attention for you. Holy Ghost of God wants us all to talk to God once in a while.
Amen.
And he moves around and gets an audience with God. And he wants you to quit everything else and get in the audience with God and talk with God. That's it.
Amen.
Not some of the time. Oh, how many times have you choked him off when he just took you over and said, pray? You put it off till a better time. Ain't got nowhere when it is. Another way we quench him, my friends, is by refusing to speak when he wants to speak. For example, lost people. You allow somebody in the Holy Ghost said, speak to that boy. Speak to that man. Speak to this girl. Speak to that woman. And you thought, oh, such an inopportune time. They would not stand if I talked to him now. And you put it off, and you won't talk to them when it's more convenient. And when you do try to talk to them, they spit on your cussing. Why? Lord had nothing to do with it. You're trying to do it by yourself, and the devil made him mad at you. But if the Lord tells you to talk to somebody, then he's got that person ready to listen.
Amen.
And a lot of times, my friends, I want you to know we've let a lot of people go to hell by refusing to talk when the Lord wants to talk.
Amen.
That's it.
Let me show you. For example, my friend, I can use myself as an illustration. Won't I miss that or understand it that way? I remember years ago down in Mississippi, an old man, 83 years old, sent word to me to come talk to him. He's lost. He don't want to get saved. And on Monday morning, Spirit of God got on me and really got a hold of me and said, now's the time to talk to him. And we built a church in the community, which he needed, little church people. Come time to pay the carpenters on Saturday night, we didn't have quite enough money to meet all the checks. The deacon said, go ahead and give them the checks, they can't cash it. At the bank, no, I won't get the bank till Monday morning. We'll take up some money tomorrow and put it in the bank first thing Monday morning. Be all right. And so now, should us run along, we took some money up and a lot more than we needed. The treasurer of the church said, "Preacher, I'll have to miss a half a day at work tomorrow. I've got the money, the receipt already made out, the deposit slip for it, made out here in the sack, locked up. You just drive by when the bank first opens in the morning, drop it in the window, and tell them I'll pick up the deposit slip later. I'd appreciate it, save me from losing half a day's work to go over there." I said, "I'll be glad you said now, don't get careless and forget it. Because you see, those fellows will cash their checks in the morning and there's no money in there. It'll be embarrassing for the church giving back checks." I said, "Brother, I'll be there." I lost my clock in about 20 minutes full time that bank drove, and I got my car and headed to the bank. About halfway to the bank, I passed this old man's house. Here's the railroad. Here's the highway. Right over there is his house. Spirit of God got on me in that car and said, "Pull him there and talk to him." And he's almost moving my steering wheel in towards that driveway. There we jumped the car and said, "Look, it's just 10 minutes more time for the bank on their own. And that money you promised that treasurer to get this money in the bank. And if it's not in there, it'll be embarrassing on you and them and the church. Just run on over and put it in. You can come back right quick." And I said, "Well, I won't be gone. I'll be back in 10 minutes. And I just stepped on the gas, run over there and sat there in a minute to open the window. I shoved the money sack on there and I said, "The treasurer picked up the deposit slip, and I'm going to go." Turned around, went back out there, wasn't gone 15 minutes. But when I got back out there, the highway patrolman was directing traffic. Cars parked all along on each side. Me and walking down the railroad track with a wash tub. I said, "Officer, what's happening?" I said, "The old man that lives in the Hamtron over there, fast train just hit him. They're picking up his pieces." I froze in the car almost. I finally managed to get to Think Park. Got out, walked over down the railroad, and there's that tub full of bones and flesh of the old fella. Matt from the funeral home said, "Mr. Ray, would you go back to the funeral home with us? We need you to help us." I said, "Yes, I will." Got back to the funeral home. They went in there in the dressing room and poured all that ground up flesh and bones and cinders on top of the marble table. Took a hose and began to wash the different pieces off and put them in a white sack. The embalmer man said, "Mr. Ray, would you go to call the family and tell them it's happened and tell them they can't see the body? It's beyond recognition." I had it to do. For as I stood there and looked at that flesh, ground up with the cinders of the railroad, 15 minutes ago, I could have won the crash. Now he's gone. You know what happened when he stands at the judgment and God says, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." That old man will look at me and say, "Preacher, why don't you stop up there? God, I was the preacher that stopped. I got saved. I sent for it." And God's going to look at me and say, "Son, why didn't you stop?" Then I'm going to see blood running off my hands. Because God said, "If you want not the wicked man, it is with you ready to die, so you say, I will require his blood at thy hands. If you want him and you don't turn it, I will still live in thy soul. My friend, don't misunderstand me, I'm not boasting. Except in the Lord, my life has been an open book since I got saved. I preached all over this nation. Folks know me know that I live a separated life. I give up things for God that no other man's ever given up. I've gone all the way out for God. Now I'm not worried about facing my life when I get up there. But you know what I'm worried about? Bloody hands. When those that I didn't speak to, their blood's recorded in my hands. Let me illustrate that. I was in another part of Mississippi and holding a meeting. precious mother came with two sons and said, put your aid. My husband's come here to preach first, man. He's heard in 38 years. He likes it. Went to Christ for us. Those sons come to me at different times personally themselves, said Brother Lee. We're so thrilled that Daddy's come here. He preached that Daddy's lost. And would you win Daddy to Christ for us? I said, sure, I can. Well, said you can. He's got utmost confidence in me. He came here to preach, and I tried to win him. Well, it didn't make too much headway. Close of the meeting, they didn't have a pastor asking me, would I stay and baptize the ones that got saved? I said, yes, the church, I'll do that. Didn't have no baptist, went down in this man's pasture, cattle pasture, and found a beautiful clear stream of water and a beautiful white sandbar laid down into a hole of water deep enough to baptize him. But in there was a log sticking out where people had crawled over it or slipped in under it and just out this in the way. And I asked him, I said, Jeff, do you mind if I get your saw and show that log off? He said, no, it's all right. I'll get it for you. Went up and got the cross-cut saw. And I was standing up on the bank trying to show that log off. He said, let me get out and hit. I said, no, don't get wet. But he just jumped over the hole of water and got on the other end of that cross-cut saw. Got the hammer. Here we are sawing it off. The Holy Spirit got all over me and said, talk to Jeff, now's the time. Talk to Jeff, now's the time. The devil jumped on me and said, now, at least let him get out of the creek. He'll swear you planned this to get him where he couldn't get loose. He's too much of a man to break away from the saw and run off. At least give him a chance. Wait till you get the log sawed in too before you talk to him. Well, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? But just about time got the log into a man, drove up in front and said, Jeff, I need you right quick, jump in here. And away we went. We baptized that afternoon. And that water. Jeff was gone. 3 months later, my phone rang at 4 o'clock in the morning. Said, this is such and such a funeral home. Jeff so-and-so died, and it's a request of his wife and two sons that you preach the funeral. Will you do it? So stumpy, I couldn't even talk. Funeral man said, are you still on the phone, preacher? Yeah. Where would you come? They want to know. They're waiting here. Yeah. I got up and dressed. Drove to the funeral home. You know what happened when I went in? That wife fell in one arm. Began to weep on this shoulder. One of the sons fell on this shoulder. Elvin buried his face between my shoulder blades and wept on my back. I felt their tears of agony run through there, my clothes, and those warm, salted tears hit my flesh and how they burned on it. All three of them cried out, preacher, why didn't you win him? Preacher, he's gone. Why didn't you win him? Why didn't you win him? He's gone. I'm not worried about that. I live, try to live clean, ready to go anytime God calls. But I'll tell you one thing, when I faced Jeff, he said, preacher, why did you talk to him that day when I saw him? God said something I didn't. I just didn't think his blood's on you. I look at my hand and start dripping with Jeff's blood. How many of you let go to hell you'd be accountable for? Now let me tell you, I don't think God intends you to call everybody you come to when you come to him. I don't think God intends that. But I'll tell you one thing, if God puts it on my heart to talk to this man, then I'm responsible. God puts it on my heart to talk to this man. Oh, my friends, I dread the judgment thrown on God because I'm going to see my hands start dripping with blood of folks I've saved. I dread it. I've been in a terrible state the last 2 days when this famous young man stayed in the state died. A nurse had witnessed and said, preacher, you need to witness. And I was planning on witnessing, but he left before he witnessed. And I'm terribly afraid. Bloody hands! Bloody hands! Not that God requires you to grab every man and woman one dirt of a car, but God requires some folks of you and some of me. Everybody goes to hell. Goes to hell because somebody failed to do what God told them to do. It's not the will of God that any man should perish. God has no respect of persons. But I'll tell you, my friends, it grieves the Holy Spirit when he moves on us and says, that's the man's only chance is you to talk to him. That's the girl's only chance is for you to talk to him. Speak for me. Not nevermore. A more convenient time, it's more appropriate. The next time when you get a chance, their doors are closed. You try to talk to them, they cuss you, spit on you, knock your head or something. Wouldn't happen if you spoke when the Holy Ghost had them under arrest. Holy Spirit had them under arrest. The Holy Spirit ain't got folks ready. He won't do nothing with them.
Right.
Except the thin. But when he's got a letter, if you work with him, he'll speak to him. He'll get a letter and get the blood over your head.
Amen.
Amen. Wounded. The Holy Spirit will quench him. Another way to wound him. My friends is by refusing to witness for him. You're my witnesses. A witness is somebody that tells what's happened. You're my witnesses. He wants us to praise the Lord. After the day of Pentecost, they went from house to house. What? Praise the Holy Ghost? No. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Jesus said in the 16th chapter of the book of John, when the Holy Ghost come, he'll not speak of himself, but he'll have you to speak of me.
That's right.
And my friend, if the Holy Ghost gets on you, gets control of you, gets possession of your whole life, he's living in here, and if he gets possession, he's going to start talking about Jesus through you.
Amen.
He's going to start praising the Lord.
Right.
My friends, how many times have you choked him when he is wanting a witness out of you? Many times when you, the Holy Spirit fills you and tears start running down your cheek. You kind of got to hate you and cover it up and shake it. They want people to see you cry. Many times when God wants you to lift your hand, wave them for his glory.
Yeah.
But your old pride kept you from doing it.
Yeah.
What a grief. He put it in you, won't you? Lift your hands. No, sir, you choked him off. Quenched him, not me. I can't act like that. Many times when the Holy Ghost wants you to burst out of the holy land, choked it off, wouldn't it? Many times when the Holy Ghost of God wants you to break loose and shout his glory, wants you to get up and shout and praise his name,
Amen.
Now let's face reality. Go back and look at your, just examine your own life. Had there been time when God wanted you to cry or laugh or shout or raise your hand? And you quenched him. You choked it off. Now you don't feel that cry. Now you don't feel like raising your hand. You don't have a holy people about you anymore. You don't want to. You never felt anymore like saying, praise the Lord, glory to God. Don't feel it anymore. You know why? You choked it so many times, you don't feel like trying to do it through you no more.
Amen.
You know, you choke a fellow every time you start saying something. You choke and you quit trying to go on.
Right.
How many times God wants you to praise him? Say, let him be your last breath in it. Praise the Lord. Lord willing, want to praise him.
Amen.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's time God's children start talking and praising the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We wouldn't let the Holy Spirit have his way.
Amen.
Let me give you the illustration so you'll understand what I'm saying. Years ago, a young man married a daughter of one of the finest deacons I ever knew. Deacon that really loved the pastor and backed him 100% every way. This boy was an alcoholic. He was conceived while his mother and daddy was dog drunk. And his mother was totally drunk when she birthed him into the world. And his daddy would go to stand in the field, to work in the field. Take a jug of homebrew or liquor to drink instead of water. The boy had drank it, and had been bred in it and brought up in it until he couldn't control himself. He fell in love with this godly young woman and married her. She tried to help him. He'd come to me and cry and say, "Preacher Ray, I married a Christian girl. I don't want to drink liquor, but I can't tell what that looks like. Would you pray for me?" "I believe in what you're doing, Percy." He'd leave a $10 bill or a $20 bill in the hand, said, "I'm not giving you this to pray for me. I'm giving it to you to buy gas. Keep going for God. I don't want you to stop preaching. But don't forget to pray. I want to be right with God." And I had prayed and wet my pillar many a night for 16 years for that boy. If I'd gotten 100 miles, he'd be sitting in the congregation listening to me preach. Now I preach message after message, now I just sure tear him up and get him saved, but it didn't. He'd come by, tears in his eyes, said, "Would you pray for him? I'm not saying it yet. I won't be." Dr. Ryan's crazy. I'd spent so much agony trying to get him saved. Look like I wouldn't. One night, I got him, they had me to come and speak at a district rally for training unions. Hundreds of churches in that district. And I preached in one of them. When he came down the aisle, I wanted to shake hands with him, speak to him. Got near at the front and they started singing and I quit shaking hands and walked up and sit down on the front seat. I was the teaching speaker of the night. When they stood up to sing the next song, I looked behind me and there sat that old boy. He got up. And I thought of all the people that all spoke to him, I'm trying to win him. So I had his hands on the back of the pew and I just turned around and squeezed his hand real tight with my hand and said, "Rufus, I'm glad you're here tonight." And he come his trembling all over it. God said, "Son, if you jump up and shout all over this church, I'll say yes." Oh, no, Lord. I'm a piece of paper to talk about. It'll scare half of these folks. Never heard no shout, never seen none. They'll run out the door. It'll embarrass everybody today. Lord, you understand, don't you? If it's somewhere where they don't stand, I wouldn't mind shouting. You know I'd shout. But my hand man. I'm the biggest speaker of the night. I'd embarrass the program plan committee today. Lord, don't you understand? Time I got through arguing with God, they quit the singing and it started the program. And after a while, they got through everything except the preaching and the special speech he wanted. They got up and I never did get such a flowery introduction before or since as that boy gave me. How brittle we are, how flush we are. And I got up there, and I had made the biggest flat I've ever made before since trying to break. I couldn't breathe. I was an awful mess at all. Well, I just said, "I'm sorry, people. I just can't speak tonight. Sinner." And the man got up was trying to say, "Well, Brother Ray's going there tonight." Back that time, I was building churches. I built 39 and Freedom of Debt in 14 years. And you can see I was building pretty fast, moving pretty fast. Said, "He goes day night, he's a boy, he'll beat this wall the way he can, almost didn't he hurt him. And he'll do better the next time." And I heard a car screeching down the road. And I heard a crash. And in the vision I saw Rufus lying there, blood running out of his mouth and nose, and out of his ears. Gasping for the last breath. And I knew I had done what God told me. I said, "Oh,
me here to seek him.
And I said, oh God, if anybody has to be ripped and killed, let it be me. I'm ready to go. But don't let this boy go to hell after he's here to quit it. Lord, I'll do anything if you save him, and not let him be killed before you say anything. Just ask me, I'll do it. And the Lord said, you're ashamed to shout in here. If I'll save him, will you throw your shoes on and run down now and get out of the highway and stand up there and shout? 64 highway and a car going about every 3 or 4 seconds. 8 miles an hour before the speed limit fades. Car's going to go in front of that church on the busiest highway. The devil said, if you get in that highway, they'll kill you. And I said, well, I'm not surrendering to God. Stay here. I don't want him in hell. I want him to follow me. Yes, Lord, I will. If the devil kills me, I'll go. When I said, I'd go. The old boy didn't come around between the two. He jumped the seat. That old man said, preacher, God just now saved me. I didn't turn me loose. Christians today on the wall. Wasn't for him and his church, a church before. He and his precious wife and the lily with the backbone of the life of his church.
Hey.
Pardon me for one of them. I got into arguing with God about something he wanted me to give up. Go all the way with him. And I argued with God and said, you're not requiring the fellow preachers. Why, I said, come on, baby. What's it mean? Argued with God. Fought God in it. To finally, I was in a meeting at First Baptist Church in Coolidge, Arizona. Found out everybody out there had had TB, and that's the reason it's in that high climate, including the pastor's wife. All of them were tuberculosis patients. All the members, all the people attend this tuberculosis town. And I got to trying to preach, and God got to closing in on me, and I thought I'd done caught tuberculosis. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't talk. I said, preacher, I'll leave it tonight. I ain't going to stay in this place no longer. I caught the first train out. Before I got back to Memphis, Tennessee, they had to call a doctor on the train. I like to die. God took his power from me. I got back and got a little better in my throat. I remember the church where I'd organized, went out and put up a tent and preached. There wasn't no church. And they said, Brother Ray, then you get any time, just call us. Day before, we'll fill a house for you. We want you to preach to us. I went down there and called them. First night I got out there, the hounds in the yard full of people so glad to see me. I got in there and tried to preach. I noticed some whispering to each other. And while I heard one fellow say, he can't preach no more. The lady had to tell me I knew I wasn't preaching. Well, back the next night, I didn't have enough to sing a song. I left that church and went over to London for where I built, organized and built. First night I was there, he was packed out and folks were living with him. He could preach. Folk, I thought I saw that whisper. He can't preach no more. I knew I couldn't. I went to, in your state, out from Chandler Rock, big level church. Tried to preach and was having a power meeting. I was trying to preach in it. 35 and 40 people come down the aisle in the conviction. When they got the altar around me, they couldn't get right. I'd see them turn around and go back. No power. I was running. I felt like an old barrel, empty, rotting, falling off on the inside. I decided I'd done what old Saul had done. God had left. I cried. I prayed. I got every Christian I could think of that could get a prayer through to God to pray. I called and I wrote letters. I sent telegrams. And I got telling God, anything you tell me, oh God, if you ever have the power, I'm ready. I was in the First Baptist Church of Inman, South Carolina. And that night, the denomination leaders of the Home Southern Baptist Convention was in a special program there. And all the people in that church was wealthy, dignified people. Nice to preach. Just by the time I was getting up, God said, get up here and shout all over this place. Lord, have mercy on me. dash the preacher to death. They'll probably run him off for having eaten meat. After running my repetition among the leaders of the denomination, Lord, they all said, now, don't you understand, Lord? Now listen, Lord, right down the road, and I'd seen it the day before, where the Lord's Fork is about 100 of the first pine trees, great big old pine tree, virgin pine tree standing. I said, Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get up here and preach about 15 minutes, run out that door, jump in my car, and I'll hug every tree and shout around every tree till they lie down there. But just not in me. Lord said, son, you can tell me for days now, anytime, anything, anywhere. I said, yes, I have. Said, take it or leave it, son. I said, Bill, why? I said, Bill, say your hands and and God flooded my soul. And sometimes people said, I shouted now in 39 minutes. I don't know how long, I don't care. I shouted. Amen. Amen. Well, I should shout 116 people got an altar and got saved. Yes. I ain't never preached that thing yet.
Amen.
And you say about the folks to hell, I've been clammed up and bowed and choking.
That's you. Amen. Go ahead.
You send a bunch of folks to hell by not beating in the bushes.
Go ahead,
brother. It's how amazing most of you are. Love is a motion.
Amen.
Go on and tell your wife tonight, honey, I've loved you ever since I laid eyes on you. In the last year since we've been living together, I love you that much more. I've loved you all the way through, but never have felt it. Matthew, you feel something for one, don't you? You can't allow all souls to not keep. You can't allow God to not get emotional. You can't allow the church to not get emotional. You can't stand that. God needs us as witnesses. Whether it's to pray when he says pray, or a witness when he says witness, or shout when he says shout. God to do it. Amen. Matthew, go on. But I stand up for you to see. My friends, these first three things a Christian does. You praise him. And you believe him. And my friends, then you lie to him. You know, one of the move of the Spirit of God, you said, oh, I'll do so and so. When you got cooled off, you didn't do it. What'd you do? You lied.
That's right.
I'll start bringing my tithe.
You got to tight and quit. What you do? You lie to the Holy Ghost. You didn't lie to somebody else.
Right.
I'll give up this old man's hand. Spirit of God told me, I'll give up this man's hand. When you got cooled off, you took your own habit back up. Oh, you lied to the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Yeah. You weren't good until some man told you, a woman told you. Bless your heart. The moving of God's Spirit inside you said, I want you to save yourself from this habit. I want you to start tithing. I want you to start this, that, and the other, and leave this, that, and the other. Yes, Lord, I will.
But when you calm yourself down, you didn't.
That's
you lied. Does it hurt you when someone else lies to you deliberately? It hurts the Holy Ghost. When we lie to him, when we quit him, when we grieve, he stays wounded and had all time for us.
Those two I just mentioned, I'm through. Done for the sinner. Resist him. Commit yourself and leave you.
My Spirit shall always strive with me. Esau sold his chance for a mess of pottage. He grieved the Spirit of God and disrespected the Spirit of God until he saw a place to repent with tears, but never found it. Now you can resist the Holy Spirit and resist the Holy Spirit until he'll leave you alone. My Spirit will always strive with me. And if the Spirit of God ain't striving, you're not coming to God.
Amen.
No answer coming except the Lord drop him.
Amen.
When you lost sinners, not a saint.
The sinner can strive and resist him until he quits striving. And you had it. You've got a true ticket to hell. And then, only a sinner An unsaved person can do the suffering. Blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Saved people can do it. But once you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, it shall never be forgiven in this life, nor the life to come.
What is blaspheming the Holy Ghost? Speaking against him.
When Jesus was born, the religious crowd of Pharisees and Sadducees said, he's born of fornication. They accused the work of the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost overshadowed the womb of Mary and produced Jesus. They said it was the cause of fornication, adultery. They charged the work of the mighty Holy Ghost at the birth of the Son of God to fornication. He said, you'll never be forgiven of that in this world or the world to come. You can blaspheme the Father and the Son will intercede. You can blaspheme the Son, the Holy Ghost will intercede. But when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you've done away with the last overture of God's mercy to you. And you're doomed. Only sinners can do it. But you can charge the work of the Holy Ghost with fire and devil and damn your soul forever. Hear me tonight. He can be wounded in many other ways. But I raise the question, what are you doing to him?